Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the first ever Kent Business Connect, Kent Biz Connect radio show with myself, Martin White, and my brilliant co-host, Brian Wakefield. Brian, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Martin.
It's not your first time here, is it? You've definitely been here before.
I have, sitting in the same seat as well.
And we got, who else have we got with us today?
Me.
Who's me?
Paul.
Paul Andrews. Mm. Nice to see you, Paul.
Nice to see you too, Martin.
We're really lucky because Paul is about to go on holiday.
I am indeed, for the first time in 10 years.
And there's no way that we would have contemplated running our first show without Paul being in the studio.
I'm here to smack fingers that are wandering over the wrong buttons.
We're staring at a myriad of control panels with all sorts of things.
There is a reason for having him as a first guest, isn't there?
Exactly. Now, Brian, you're a little bit echoey on your mic there. Can you either get a bit closer or turn it up a little bit? No, actually, that won't help, but get a little bit closer. Say something.
How about that?
Yeah, that's a little bit better.
It is. I'm not happy with it, but
Paul's
it's not
Brian.
It.
Anyway, we digress. So, Brian, why are we here today? What is Kent Biz Connect? What's it all about?
Yeah, well, we're going to be broadcasting here once a fortnight on a Monday from 3 till 4. And connect is the key word, Martin. We're going to be connecting businesses to each other. We're going to be looking at news in the county that may well be affecting businesses. We're always going to have a Kent guest in the business slot, and we'll be looking at forthcoming events, rounding those up, and anything else that's affecting business in Kent.
Brilliant, and well summed up. So, in other words, listener, this show is all about you, and it's all about your business content, and we need that in order to have a show. And there's two kind of ways that you can get in touch with us, really, I think, aren't there? We've got a website, which is kentbizconnect.co.uk. And we've also got a Twitter handle, which is kent_biz. So if you've got an event or a promotion, or you're looking for another business to collaborate with, and you'd like us to read that out live on air, use those. Well, actually, you can email us through the website, but I would suggest Twitter is probably the best way to do it, isn't it, Brian?
I would say so, or they can just... If they know us, which a lot of people do, of course, they can just email you or I directly.
Yeah. So we've got a guest who is Paul Andrews today. Hi, Paul.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah. And we're going to be talking about businesses or maybe industries, perhaps, that are rife for a bit of disruption, because Paul's a bit of a revolutionary at heart.
Maybe.
He used to be before he settled down. So we're going to be... We're going to be looking at industries and categories that might be ripe for a bit of disruption. We've got a little bit of news that Brian's going to kick off with in a minute, which I think is very topical for everybody that lives certainly in southeast Kent. We're going to have a roundup of lots of juicy events that are happening. They might be networking events. They might be free workshops that are taking place. And what's the final thing we're going to do, Brian?
That's pretty much it today.
That's it, I think, isn't it? We're not going to be too ambitious, are we, today?
No, we've got enough to cover there anyway.
We've got some quick thank yous to say before we kick off with the news. We need to say thank you, Richard Torble, at Torble Design on the Twitter, for building us a brilliant Kent Biz Connect website. Richard, we're really chuffed with it, mate. Thank you so much for doing that. Brian, who do you want to say thank you to?
We want to say thank you to Paul, and that's before he's even said anything, but he has been the guiding light for us, really, before we've even started. So we wouldn't have even got this far without him. So
I think
you, Paul.
Guiding light might be kind of pushing it a bit far, but we certainly wouldn't be here without Paul's studio.
I like guiding. Yeah.
And we ought to say thanks to Kent Space, because that's where we are. We're at Kent Space. We're broadcasting live from Kent Space in Ashford today. So thanks to the guys here for looking after us and keeping us in biscuits and tea and coffee, as always.
And you've had your share of those, Martin.
Yes, thanks, Brian. But moving on swiftly, I know you had a little bit of trouble getting here today.
Oh, tell me about it. It's or is it just me? I think not. It felt like it took an hour and a half to get here today. Wasn't a lot shorter than that. I've only come from Maidstone. Is it just me, or is all of Kent dug up at the moment? Just no matter where you go, there's stuff going on the M2, there's stuff going on the M20. Ashford,
the whole place seems to be dug up and down to one lane, as is everywhere you go. And only today, the M2 have embarked upon a month's worth of roadworks between junctions 3 and 2, where they're doing bridge strengthening and goodness knows what else, resurfacing, and that's actually going to be closed. So
where's junction 3 and 2?
Junction 3 is Bluebell Hill, top of Bluebell Hill, so that's a fairly kind of pivotal point. And then 2, okay, lesser so really, kind of Snodland and Strood, but it's mainly London bound. So
I'm going to get hit with that on Thursday when I make my way up to BBN Dartford.
You could well do, right. Because of course you might say everybody else, all the businesses in Kent, whatever you're doing, allow some extra time and that kind of thing, and just detour onto the M20. But hang on a minute, the M20, right, that most of that is dug up because of this smart motorway thing. So you've got both motorways in Kent, the M2 and the M20, that have got a load of stuff going on at the moment, and is just going to make doing business in Kent slightly more challenging for the foreseeable future. Is there anything that can be done about that, Martin?
Don't ask me. I mean, I haven't got a clue, but I think we should certainly invite our listeners. And if KCC and the Highways Agency are tuned in, we should certainly invite them to comment on @Kent_biz. I don't know if there is a simple. I mean, it's the fact that we've got more traffic on the roads than the roads can currently cope with. Paul, what do you think the problem is?
We don't maintain the roads properly.
Right.
There's potholes everywhere and has been for years. When they do get round to it, they tend to do everything all at once. You know, they've closed the M2, the M20's closed. Yeah, probably find there's roadworks on the A20 as well. They just don't think these things through.
Right.
It's difficult. I have some empathy with them, but it is difficult to schedule all those kind of things and to keep the roads maintained with the huge volume of traffic we have. But basically, you need to think ahead. We were talking about something else earlier off air. We were talking about the next Dartford crossing. And you made a valid point, Martin, which is really unusual, isn't it, Brian, for him to make a valid point?
It's the first time for
everything. He made a valid point that by the time they've actually got round and built this, we'll need another one.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the same problem with roads.
Yeah.
By the time they get round to fixing anything, it's too late and things have moved on and they're not fixed again. I mean, at the M20 at the moment, they're installing smart motorway, which is laughable. And they're putting smart motorway in, allegedly.
What is that exactly?
Well, according to them, they're doing it because they cut all the trees down at the side of the road. Yeah, all the residents complained about the traffic noise, so they're putting in smart motorway, which deadens the noise, allegedly, of the road.
So it's a tarmac thing?
Yeah, effectively.
But less rumble?
I think it does other things, allegedly, as well.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be easier to replace and easier to maintain and all kinds of nonsense. But the reality is they cause their own problem in the first place.
I think the key word you said there was scheduling. Most of it wouldn't be a huge problem if the M20 was done and dusted, and then perhaps a few months later they address the issues on the M2.
Yeah.
But virtually the two roads that link those two together are Bluebell Hill
and
Detling Hill are just going to be gridlocked because they're doing it at the same time, and I just think that's madness.
Right.
And the other thing that drives motorists mad is when you get stuck in these jams due to traffic works and road works, yet there's nobody actually working there. It's all coned off. There's traffic flows. There's all flashing lights telling you not to go over 10 mile an hour and all kinds of nonsense, but there isn't a soul working there.
There's a stretch, isn't there, on the A20 between Folkestone and Dover. And they've had those roadwork signs out for years. And everybody knows they're not doing any work.
Exactly.
On the road.
Yeah.
It is bonkers. But we're not here to criticise. What we're here to do is offer some credible solutions as to how we could make things better. So, I mean, what do we think the future of our road transport network is? Do we need to build more motorways? I mean, they call the M2 a motorway. But from what I can tell, because I use it every day, it's little more than a dual carriageway operating at kind of snail's pace at rush hour.
You want my opinion?
Well, what do we need to do? Well, do we need to build another motorway network?
We need to build a network, okay? And we don't do that currently. Road planning, which I know nothing about, and there could be loads of reasons why they do this, but network planning is something I do I know about. Many years ago, I worked as a network engineer, and one of my pet topics was what's called network queuing theory, and it's how you plan a network traffic for a traffic to flow around it. And what you do is you make multiple routes, because if you put everything in one place, it gets gridlocked. Hello, M25.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how many lanes you put on that motorway, it will never work. Every major airport in London is on that motorway.
Right.
And you could put 6 lanes, you could put 12 lanes, you could put 24 lanes. Mm-hmm. It will never work because all the traffic's going to the same place at the same time on the same bit of road. What you need is multiple different routes to places, mm-hmm. and ways of cutting things out. So, funnily enough, one of the big things they could do is to complete the M27, which runs along the south coast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got as far as Brighton and mm-hmm. or wherever they got to, Eastbourne mm-hmm. or whatever they mm-hmm. got to, and stopped.
Yeah,
that should come right round the Kent coast.
Yeah,
if that did that, that gives people in Folkestone and Dover and Deal an alternative route that takes them totally away from London.
Mm-hmm. And avoid going round in a big circle. That's something that I hear a lot. There's no direct motorway to link Sussex to Kent, basically.
Exactly.
And very very pretty, though, that drive is along the coast. It is a bit tortuous.
It'll be slow.
And it'll be very slow.
Right.
But if you built a motorway, if you finish the motorway,
right.
which is what they were supposed to do, if you finish that motorway, lots of traffic coming from the continent that doesn't want to go to Kent or London or Essex, but wants to go south into Sussex, Surrey and Hampshire and Wiltshire, and can avoid the whole M2, M20 London thing, M25 altogether.
So, what's stopping us doing this?
I don't know. So, I mean, as I say, I don't know about road planning. You might get a road planner on that comes up. Well, the reason you can't do that, Paul, is because of cobblestones or
it's clearly a
Roman
massive,
roads or something. I don't know, but
it's clearly a massive infrastructure project, isn't it? And for some reason, we struggle with that.
Blowing £100 billion on a stupid railway. HS2, what's the point of that? So that, you know, people from Birmingham can leave quicker. Mm. You know, why would you want to do that?
That aside, we seem to struggle with big infrastructure projects, don't we?
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Well, we do, really. And I was going to answer that question earlier, actually. And that is the thing. It kind of is what it is. And it takes this long. It's the same with the second Dartford Tunnel or whatever it's going to be. Mm. There's consultation after consultation. It just takes a long, long time. It's how it is. So I think the only thing we can do and advice we can give in the meantime is Kent businesses out there, be aware of it. It's happening. Any meetings you're going to, client meetings, networking meetings, stuff like that, you're just going to have to allow more time to get there.
An extra 4 hours.
That's the kind of thing. Mm. So, I don't know. Is it possibly time for a little bit of music now? And what possible music could we play?
Well, I don't think we're quite ready for music.
I've got a suggestion, though, about traffic. Yeah. And this is where government really does fail. Government, at the moment, tend to use the tax system to punish everybody, even to the point where they're making our pizzas smaller now and stuff like that. How about doing what they claimed it was there to do, which is to incentivise things? How about giving tax incentives for getting people to work from home? How about investing money in the broadband infrastructure and the cellular infrastructure and giving people tax incentives, businesses or individuals, to work more from home and not use their cars?
Yeah, I think that's a very valid point. The whole kind of, I mean, we know that there's pressure on office space wherever you are.
Yeah, car parking.
Yeah, planning laws have changed so that actually you don't even need planning permission in some instances to convert office space into residential. So there's huge pressure there. Mm. So why are we fixated with the kind of the 9 to 5 in the office still, when actually we could free up our transport infrastructure just by allowing people to work from home?
Incentivise them to work from home so they've got a reason to do it. Yeah. So businesses have a reason to let their people work from home as much as they can. And then what you might have is, you know, strategic kind of hot desking hubs in places that people could use if they don't want to commute all the way?
Like Canterbury, for example.
Places like Canterbury would be a reasonable example, yes.
Yeah, but no, it's a very valid point. I mean, I often say to my wife, I'm so glad I don't have to commute anymore. Because not only did it take a massive kind of physical toll on me at the time, although I was quite young.
Never recovered, you know, Brian.
It was just a waste of time. I mean, it was just a waste of time. It really was.
Yeah.
I think that is the answer, really, is get more and more people working from home-ish, less people travelling, and get all the lorries off the road. I don't want that to be too controversial, but send it all on a train, because my personal bugbear is lorries and everything, as they take up too much space, too much time, stuff like
that. Well, that's another really good point, isn't it? Because, you know, going back to Paul's comment about HS2 and the expansion of the HS2 network, you know, why can't we have freight traffic that's automatically put on a shuttle-type train? I mean, they already exist down at Eurotunnel, those kind of freight trains. So you have to drive onto a freight train, and then we link into a high-speed rail network, and actually you're delivered to your end destination or within 50 miles of it, and you're just taken off the roads completely. Why can't that be a solution?
Absolutely, yeah.
So if we can come up with these kind of these radical kind of no-brainer ideas, why can't the powers that be? That would be my question.
It's the perennial question, isn't it? It's a question that everybody asks, is why do government do what they do?
Right.
Why don't they think anything through? I mean, they've probably got rafts of experts that will give you a million reasons why you can't do anything. But the reality is, I was just talking to someone on Twitter, actually, about the high street, and they were going, oh, we're all going to die. The high street's dying. Mm. And I said, no, it isn't. The high street is not dying. It's evolving. It's changing. And what we find difficult to deal with is strategic long-term change. Government can't plan sufficiently far ahead and implement things to build the infrastructure of the future. They're always playing catch-up, because every time they come up with a plan, by the time they actually execute it, many years have gone past. You know, there's been consultations, public inquiries, all kinds of nonsense. That means every single infrastructure plan takes 100 years or whatever to do before they've delivered it. And then when they deliver it, it's out of date. You know.
But is that what's at the root of the kind of the root cause of the problem? The fact that successive governments are just kind of effectively playing a popularity contract.
Well, to some extent,
nobody wants to raise taxes. Nobody wants to kind of bulldoze greenfield sites to build new massive infrastructure projects.
Well, I don't think it's that they don't want to do it. I think what the problem is, if you remember, I can't remember what it's called. It was a section of the M4 between Reading and Swindon, which cut through a valley. And that was held up by Swampy and his mates for over 12 years, yeah? And there were public consultations. They built it. Nobody knows it's even there. You know, after all that shenanigans, nobody even notices it's there. It's built through a cutting. There's two green mounds either side. You go through it in 4 minutes flat. Nobody knows it's there. And the problem that I see with big infrastructure projects is that there's all these consultations, there's committees, there's all kinds of things. And the problem is, it takes too long to get to the end point. And by the time you've actually built it, it's out of date.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're 10 years behind the curve, always. You know, HS2 should have been built 30 years ago. Not now. No. It's too late.
No, I think we're all agreed. So we need to rationalise the planning process within all of this as well, by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Well, we'd love to hear from our listener out there, Richard Torbell. Richard, do tweet us to let us know your thoughts on all of this. But it is a very serious issue. And I think for a nation that was once the spearhead of the Industrial Revolution a little more than 100 years ago, we now seem to be going backwards.
But as part of the problem, that is always part of the problem. The fact that we pioneered these things means that we have an infrastructure that has to be changed and modified and upgraded. So many other places didn't have the infrastructure.
No.
So, for instance, if you go various parts of the world, like South America, parts of Africa. Their telecommunications infrastructure is far superior to ours, but that's because they didn't have any to start with.
They didn't have the legacy of out-of-date system. They just didn't have a system full stop.
No, so they never put in copper wires. Mm. The first thing they ever put in was fibre optics or cellular because they didn't have anything before. Whereas we've got, you know, it's like anything, our copper network, our sewer network, our drain, all of that is over 150 years old. Mm. And we're trying to upgrade it, patch it, make it fit for the 21st century because you can't just rip it all out and start again.
Right. Well, there we are, people. Lots of food for thought there. I think what we're going to do is we're going to leave it on that note and we're going to play a little bit of...
It's enough traffic for me.
A little bit of tunage just to kind of get us through the next few minutes and let Paul calm down. And and then we'll be back. And I think, Brian, you've picked this particular track. I think it's obviously quite pertinent.
Well, let's hope it's fitting.
Let's see. Let's hope people get it. Hello everyone, and welcome back to Kent Biz Connect, our first ever radio show. Paul keeps reaching over and fiddling with my buttons on the desk.
I'm playing with his knobs.
But I'm glad he is. I'm glad he's here helping us out today. We said at the start of the show that what we're really here to do is try and connect businesses. And that might be tell businesses about an exciting event that's happening that perhaps they ought to go along to, or showcase opportunities for businesses to collaborate and work together. So we're going to get into a bit of that now, because there's so much happening at the moment. And in fact, in many ways, there's an overabundance at times of stuff happening, all happening on the same day. So what we're going to try and do is kind of make sense of some of that and just showcase some of the great stuff that's happening out there, and some of the events that you might want to be a part of. So, Brian, do you want to kick us off and tell us what's happening this week, for example?
Yeah, I will, Martin. Thank you. And you're quite right. There is an absolute abundance of events. And so I do believe you have to pick and choose them carefully now, because there's 3, 4, 5 events going on the same day and that I get invited to. And you obviously can't do it, because we do need to do some work as well in between the all-important task of networking. This week, first up, of course, is the infamous BBN at Dartford this coming Thursday. So we can't forget that. I can't really invite anybody because, as you know,
it's full.
It's absolutely full. It's absolutely full to the end of the year, with an ever-increasing waiting list. But that will be resolved for 2019.
Right.
So watch this space. I shall break news within the next couple of weeks and tell everybody what's happening with that.
So that's Thursday at 7 o'clock at Dartford.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there'll be 50 businesses networking, having fun and doing breakfast and business there.
And the beauty of that, Brian, really, is this isn't a membership type setup, is it? It's a pay-as-you-go networking group.
It absolutely is that. Yeah, there's no membership and there's no joining fee. You just pay your £16 for your breakfast and you get opportunity to enhance friendships, because a lot of those people... Mm. are at every event, and they've built very, very good relationships with people, I'm pleased to say. There's a lot of fun. It's great to hear the amount of laughter in the room, and people often say about the vibe and the buzz, and all of that is really, really good. It's very satisfying and very rewarding, and it's a pleasure to run.
Good. Well, it certainly benefited my business, so thank you for that, Brian.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you. We hear that often, so it's good. We have, of course, branched out, and we're also over at Bromley. Mm-hmm. So we have BBN Bromley coming up.
So that's
up.
In the alternate week, so that's next week.
It is. That will be the following. The next one there is Wednesday 24th.
Yeah.
And we have a capacity there of 40. Mm-hmm. So in the last 3, possibly 4 meetings, I think, have achieved that 40. So I suspect that come next year, we may have a similar challenge of getting everybody in there. That's a great meeting, and definitely developing its own identity. And there are businesses that come from all over Kent. It's in Bromley, but we have people that come up from the coast, from Medway and from Canterbury and Whitstable and Sevenoaks and Tunbridge.
Good.
And it's really, really... really good. Mm-hmm. Another one that's coming up that catches my eye is Network Kent.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. You aware of that, Martin?
Yeah, Gary Johnson's monthly networking at the Bridgewood Manor.
It is. It's exactly that. Yes. Yeah, that's just a tenner. It's the last Wednesday of the month and takes place from 10:30 to 12:30. And you don't get a 60 seconds or anything like that there. There is a speaker, a 10-minute speaker generally, and it's a good chance to grab a coffee and some kind of pastry and network with people.
So that's Halloween, isn't it? That's on the 31st of October, Wednesday the 31st.
Yeah, I believe it is, actually. So that's scary, isn't it?
And how do people book on for that?
Well, Network Kent do have their own website, and you can get in touch with Gary Johnson
on the Twitter as well, I think.
And yeah,
at Network Kent, something like that, isn't
that's it? A good thing these days. When people say, oh, I couldn't get hold of you, I couldn't find your number, it's just so easy now. Just that you've got a thing called Google, you can find all of these events and the people involved.
And if you're not on Twitter, anybody out there, please do get yourselves a Twitter account, because we're certainly going to be saying, get in touch with Brian or get in touch with Gary over the Twitter, because it's just so much easier to do that.
It really is. I don't want to diversify into social media here, because I'm like Paul, once I get on my high horse and start talking about it.
You're a convert, aren't you? I mean, you're a good example of someone that never had a Twitter account, and now at Brian's BN, you know, you've got video going out, you've got, you know, news about your networking events happening. So it's been a brilliant tool for you just to communicate with people and get the word out there, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, we put a lot of time and effort at BBN into putting out good quality stuff. It's not sales stuff at all, really. It's to help the members. So there's lots
testimonials
of, there's testimonials, yeah. Video testimonials, which is good. There's videos of the actual members doing their 45 seconds, and Gareth at Play Mountain does an absolutely fantastic job of those. Lots of comments on how professional they are. So and then they go out. There's networking tips that go out sort of every week or so. But people really do need to capitalise on it and get involved and interact and comment and retweet and
get yourselves on Twitter, people, and stay informed. I would suggest.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a little shout out for an event that's happening also on Halloween, but here at Kent Space. So the gorgeous Vicky and Sue McGowan, Vicky Thurley and Sue McGowan at Kent Space in Ashford, the Electroset building, are actually running a Halloween after-hours networking event that day as well.
And that is in the evening,
isn't it?
It'll be dark, so that's proper Halloween.
It will be scary.
That's really scary.
There'll be pumpkins and all sorts of lovely nibbles.
Apple Dunkin'. Are we doing Apple Dunkin'?
I don't know, Paul.
What has Apple done to deserve that?
I've not seen Apple Dunking for a long time. But Joe James from the Chamber of Commerce is actually the guest speaker that night as well. So that's Wednesday, the 31st of October, Halloween.
Will she be wearing a mask?
Quite possibly. I'm not sure if they're doing masks and fancy dress, but if that's what you'd like to come as, then by all means. vt@kentspace.co.uk, if you wouldn't mind just booking on for that one so that they have an idea of how many people to cater for on the night. But I think Joe's going to be giving an update on things like the Lower Thames Crossing and all sorts of infrastructure projects in and around our beautiful county. So be one certainly worth attending. We've also got a number of FSB events happening, and the FSB are great supporters, as everybody should know, of small businesses in Kent. At FSB Kent on the Twitter, if you'd like to follow them, and that's Alison Parmar's Twitter account, and Alison is our local representative for the FSB. They've got a couple of events happening this week on Wednesday. They've got the FSB Bank of England Roundtable, and this is a great opportunity for local business people to feed back to the Bank of England their concerns, and also learn about monetary policy directly from the bank. And what they do is they take all of that feedback from local business people, and that all gets plugged into the senior meetings with people like Mark Carney, for example. So they use it very much as a kind of a local business barometer, which I think is a great kind of outreach program that they've got to talk to. At least they're talking to small businesses and asking for their feedback. So that's on Wednesday. There will be an Eventbrite booking link for that. But to be honest with you, at FSB Kent, again, on the Twitter, or if you want to have a look on the community page of Supply My Business, you'll generally find all of the events that we're going to be talking about on there as well. And then the next day, there's a business breakfast on Thursday. If you're not going to BBN Dartford and you didn't manage to get in, why don't you get yourselves along to Tunbridge? Because the FSB are hosting a business breakfast in Tunbridge, and it's at Judean's Rugby Club. Paul, have you ever been there?
No, I don't think I have.
You not played there in your day?
I've never played rugby, no.
My
son's played rugby, yeah.
So that's at Judean's Rugby Club in Tunbridge. There is an Eventbrite link, but again, I would suggest at FSB Kent, or Sarah Lilly at the FSB could also well be your contact there to book onto that. Brian?
Yeah.
On the subject of Wednesdays, on the 17th, the Chamber of Commerce have one of their out-of-hours events at the Abbots Barton Hotel in Canterbury. So that's Wednesday the 17th. They run from 6 till about 7.30. Believe you don't actually have to book in for that at all. You can just kind of pop in on your way home if you've got nothing better to do, that kind of thing. Grab a coffee and a biscuit and have a chat with a few people.
Always worth going to. Very good. Are you an entrepreneur that struggles with business finance? So there's a lot of very clever people out there, very, very good at what they do, but we're not all trained accountants. That's the bottom line. There's a workshop, a series of two workshops coming up at the Business Terrace in Maidstone. So this is all organised by an organisation called Let's Do Business Group, who along with our own Chamber of Commerce in Kent are probably one of the Southeast's largest business support providers, and they roll out, for example, things like the Startup Loan Programme on behalf of the government. So they have a fully funded finance for non-financial entrepreneurs workshop happening at the Business Terrace in Maidstone on the 23rd and 30th of October. And this is really an A to Z to help startups and small business owners in particular understand all things accounting and entrepreneurial finance related. So the course runs from 9 in the morning till 5 in the evening. And as I say, it's on consecutive 23rd and 30th of October at the Business Terrace. You will need to book on to that. It is on Eventbrite. I'm not sure how many spaces they've got left. I know it is going to be a popular one. But if you have a look at Maidstone Finance on Eventbrite, or again on the Supply My Business community page, you'll find all the details for that.
Thanks, Martin. Also, on the while we're on the subject of the Business Terrace at Maidstone, on Monday the 22nd of this month, there's the Breaking Big seminar. Now, I've no idea what that's about, but it sounds interesting, doesn't it? And that's from 2 p.m. until 4 p.m. So a two-hour seminar, the Breaking Big seminar at the Business Terrace Maidstone on Monday the 22nd.
Is that when you're involved with Paul? Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't. No
doubt you'll be chairing that at some point.
No.
They just haven't rung you yet.
No, they don't talk to me from Business Terrace.
Oh, don't they? Oh dear, no. You've fallen out
somewhere else.
No. It's just somewhere that I've not been involved in, because why would I be involved in? My office is only next door.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Fair enough. It's like that, is it? Yeah.
No, just...
Right. I'm going to stay with financial stuff. And there's a great company out there called Pecunia. They're quite a new business. They've been around a couple of years now. But what they specialise in is credit management. And in particular, improving cash flow by, guess what? Asking your customers to pay their bills.
Good grief.
And I know, that's a novel idea.
Yeah, I know. And you'd think so, wouldn't you? But actually, the number of businesses out there that aren't being paid on time is astonishing. Mm. Astonishingly bad, I mean.
Yep.
And by that, I mean that, you know, there's an awful lot of businesses going to the wall simply because their customers aren't paying them on time. And small businesses in particular really struggle with that. So what Pecunia are doing, and this is the lovely Tracy and Kevin at Pecunia, they're offering a free credit management process health check and cash flow recommendations for your business. So they'll sit down with you for an hour and understand what your credit management process actually looks like now within your business, and they'll make recommendations for how you could actually improve your cash flow significantly by putting some simple steps in place to actually ask people to pay you what they owe you. So you can find out more about that particular promotion from Tracy Westall at Pecunia. At Pecunia2016, they are on the Twitter. So get in touch with Tracy directly that way. And again, you'll find that information in community on Supply My Business.
I was with Tracy on Friday, actually.
Oh, she was there, was she?
Yeah.
Another one of Gary's
Another
events.
One of Gary Johnson's
Brands
networking
Hatch.
Events at Brands Hatch. Good. On the first day of the Superbike. Uh-huh. So it's a noisy place to network, I have to say. But it was a very, very good event, very enjoyable, always good. I have just one more event that I should mention.
Go on.
And this is more a kind of social thing, really, but it is Friday the 26th of October. It's a Halloween ball, and it's being arranged by, mainly organised by the lovely Linda Cloak, and that takes place at Mercure Brands Hatch. So Friday the 26th, I will be there, all dressed up and
raring to go, along with a few other BBNers and people we know. So that's shaping up to be a good fun night. So getting in touch with Linda Cloak. Best email address for her, I would say, is linda@clicksingles.co.uk, or contact us if you want more info. So that's about it from me, Martin.
Okay. Well, I've got a few more promotions I'd like to read out, if I can, before we cut across to Paul. Business Finance Review. So where do you go when you need to access finance for your business? What's the best way to do that? Paul, how have you gone about doing that in the past?
His wallet.
Accessing finance?
Yeah. Where would you start? I mean, would you go to a bank and say, I need to borrow some money to expand my business? What's the kind of traditional route you think for doing that?
Well, I've never done that.
Right.
I've never had to do that. I've always managed to finance my own expansion. By bootstrapping a business in the first place and then not wasting money, but, you know, kind of saving money for my expansion. But if I was forced to do that, I think I would try the bank first, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't expect much joy from them, to be honest. They don't seem to like lending money to anybody anymore.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. So there are some specialist business finance brokers and providers out there that actually are able to access a kind of a whole of market picture and actually tailor lending according to your requirements. Well, on
exactly.
That basis.
I know people mm-hmm. in that market space that I would go and say, look, I need $500,000 to do this or that or the other. You could do that. Crowdfunding is also a reasonable source depending on what you're doing, you know, peer-to-peer lending. There are quite a few vehicles, and there's also a lot of government schemes, both central government and regional government schemes for borrowing money or getting grants or whatever. There's a lots of different places.
Well, we've been contacted by Kevin Beck at Fleet Commercial, who Brian and I know quite Kevin. Well. Yeah. And Kevin, again, similarly to Pecunia, is offering a free, no obligation review of your business funding requirements. So Kevin has an awful lot of experience in this area, and you could do an awful lot worse, I think, than to sit down with him for an hour or so and just kind of pick his brains in terms of what your options are.
Oh, absolutely right, Martin. I've heard lots of stories with Kevin where he does some interesting loans, ones that you just wouldn't approach the bank for and stuff like that.
Exactly. So if you've had the door closed firmly in your face through a traditional kind of lending route and you'd like some alternative advice, please talk to Kevin. It's Kevin Beck at Fleet Commercial. Again, you'll find him on the Twitter, at Fleet Finance, I think he is on the Twitter. But Fleet Commercial Finance are offering a free review of your business funding requirements.
Cool.
I've just got one more, I think, Ryan, I'd like to read out before we cut across
Hand
to Paul.
Hand over to Mr. Andrews.
Yeah.
Yes.
Health and safety is never far away from the news headlines for all the wrong reasons. And we're very fortunate, and she has been a guest on the show before, Jenny Sanford.
Lovely Jenny, yes.
At Sanford Hodges, who again is also a regular networker at BBN in Dartford. So Jenny will also sit down with you for an hour and offer a free initial consultation to review your health and policy, health and safety policies and procedures within your business. And a lot of people get confused about what health and safety in the workplace means, and Jenny's very good at actually just kind of putting that in black and white in terms of, look, what have you done to identify the risks in your business, first and foremost, and secondly, what have you done to mitigate those risks, those health and safety risks? And that really, for most small businesses, is what a health and safety policy and process is all about. So if you'd like some advice in that area, please talk to Jenny Sanford at Sanford Hodges on the Twitter directly, and she'd be more than happy to come and meet with you and give you the benefit of her advice as well. Brian, is it time to introduce our guest?
I think it probably is. We don't want him nodding off, because I'm sure he hasn't said anything yet so far. Is he on the show, or has he?
He's not just here to press buttons, is he?
No, absolutely. Yes, let's give him 10 minutes more of fame, shall we?
All right. So, Paul. Paul Andrews, for the people out there who don't know who you are, just give us a very, very brief intro to your various different business interests in Kent at the moment, and why you are qualified to talk with some authority about what's going on at a business level in our beautiful county.
Okay, well, I own 10 businesses.
10?
10, yeah. Primarily, most of them in the digital media space. I also own Fruitworks in Canterbury, which is a community workspace, Fruit Bowl Media, which is a web design agency, Cars from Kent, which is a car sales agency. So, loads of businesses.
Right. All, as you say, in that kind of digital
space. Yeah, most of them in that digital space. Mm-hmm. I own a couple of radio stations, but again, they're kind of media orientated. My background is in IT, IT in the city. Am I qualified? I don't know. I'm opinionated, that's for sure. I have my thoughts and feelings about things, as do most people.
When it comes to being qualified in business, I think for me the key thing is, have you been there and done it?
I've been there, done it, got the T-shirt.
You can't learn it from a textbook, can you?
No, you can't. No, it's something that's a process of evolution. You learn as you go along. No matter where your starting point is, you're always learning. Most people that start in business start a business based on something that they understand or an idea that they've had. They don't tend to start by going, do you know what, I'm really good at VAT, so I'm going to open a flower shop or, you know, a web design agency. But, of course, very quickly you have to get good at VAT and payroll and bookkeeping and all the other things that you need to do in order to run a business. And the vast majority of us, me included, when we started out in business, had no idea about running a business.
No.
So you learn by experience. You learn by
school
mistakes.
Of hard knocks.
You learn by your mistakes. Mm-hmm. You learn by if you're sensible, you learn by listening. Yeah, by talking to other people that have done it. I'm a great believer in using my professional support network. So my legal team, my accountants, people like that, I turn to for advice because they know their area of expertise.
So all the things we've just been showcasing, whether it be in an event or a promotion that a business is offering, an hour of their time, why on earth would you not take them up on that?
Exactly, yeah. It really is a listening process. You know, you hear lots of stuff that's not valid and, you know, maybe even wrong sometimes. But basically, the idea is that if you listen to enough people, you can synthesize all of that and you can get a feel. You know, if the same thing comes up over and over again, then you know where to go. If it's something that you really need some professional advice about, it never, ever, you know, the trouble is when you start a business, you've got no money. Yeah, you've got no funds to do anything. Mm-hmm. So people scrimp and save, but they scrimp and save on the wrong things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's worth getting the basics right first, even if it costs you a little bit of money. Otherwise, you know, if you come and try and come back to it, it becomes increasingly difficult to do that.
Well, what I wanted to do today was put you on the spot.
Go on then.
And I'd like you to identify for me the businesses or the business models that you think are kind of rife for disruption.
Oh.
So who out there do you think has rested on their laurels, been doing business incredibly badly for far too long and actually is now potentially under threat from a new entrant to the market that's just going to completely shake that up?
Sure. Right at the moment, you're looking at, obviously, retail. There's lots of retailers out there that just have not adapted to the new paradigm. And that's not just the internet. Yeah, one of the biggest killers of retail, the traditional high street retail, are shopping malls. Yeah, where you can drive somewhere in the middle of nowhere and you can actually park outside and go shopping in 100 different shops.
Yeah, it's critical, I think.
Yeah, that has had a big change and a lot of people have not adapted to that. So
out of town shopping.
Yeah. Is what's really had an impact on traditional retail. Mm-hmm. In-town shopping is all about evolving into new services, things that you can't do on the internet, things that you don't want to do in a big mall. Yeah, so you don't want to go to a big shopping mall to have your hair done. Yeah, or, you know, to have a cup of coffee. You can have a cup of coffee, obviously, in a big shopping mall, but if you're just going out for coffee,
right,
you don't want to drive all the way to Bluewater for a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. So your high street has to adapt to that. So that's one thing. Professional services need to be disintermediated. That's really where they need to to get sorted out. So law firms, accountancy firms, stuff like that. So, and if you look at law firms, the most obvious things are there's lots of things that law firms do that can be commoditized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where they're still charging hourly rates for faffing about with bits of paper.
Mm.
That is insane. Yeah.
So it's just, downloading template, legal templates off the internet for simple stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And a firm of lawyers should be offering that.
Right.
And they can charge slightly more.
Conveyancing, for example? Well, do you think conveyancing could fall into that?
Conveyancing is a nonsense. Mm. You can actually do it yourself if you really wanted to. Mm. It's really a nonsense. Okay. And they try to overcharge for it all because they still have this 19th century view of hourly rates. And unaccustomed as I am to writing to you on the 7th instant, and, you know, it's nonsense. Yeah. It's utter nonsense.
Do you know what really annoys me out there? It's insurance.
Mm.
And whenever my insurance renewal comes round...
Mm.
It's always more than it was last time.
Well,
I've kept myself squeaky clean. I haven't got any points on my licence.
It's often 20% more. They try and push you to put you on auto renewal,
right?
Which if you're not careful and don't untick the box, you'll automatically go on auto renewal. And then they send it through. They actually won't put in what you paid last year because they don't want you to know. They want you to forget. And what you have to do every time is then phone them up and say, why has it gone from 320 to 390? And then they have to, oh, we'll give you a discount. Why didn't they do that in the first place?
I had exactly that on Saturday. I had my buildings and contents renewal. It came through. It had gone up alarmingly.
Mm.
I went straight out and found an alternative supplier and bought the policy.
Right.
I then rang up my existing supplier to say, don't auto-renew. And they went, oh, we can probably match that. And I went, I don't want you to.
No.
And I don't want you to match that because you shouldn't have made me do that.
You should have
offered it to me in the first place. Mm. Yeah.
They just try it on, though.
Yeah.
Try it on.
I need to say one thing in answer to your question, though. What the thing that is ripe for changing is every institution that's too big to care about their customers.
Yes.
Insurance is one.
Yeah.
Mobile phone companies are another.
Yeah.
The government is a third. They're too big. Mm. They're too amorphous.
Mm-hmm.
They don't deal with their customers, and they use technology as a weapon to stop you speaking to someone to get something that you want.
Yeah.
And what's going to start to happen is smaller and smaller businesses will chip away at their services by offering personalized services where you can actually speak to a human that recognizes who you are and will help you resolve your problem. Without saying, computer say no.
Good. Well, I mean, we could go on all day because I think it's a fascinating topic, and I'm sure we ought to sit down with a blank sheet of paper at some point and actually write some of these ideas and thoughts down, because they will be the businesses of tomorrow. I mean, you know, if we can sit here and decide what the government needs to be doing in terms of transport policy, and we can decide what businesses are rife for disruption, then I'm sure other people can and will be doing as well. We need to finish up now because we've actually run out of time for our first show
for that long, Martin.
But we've had a tweet from a listener, and I want to read it out. It says, at Kent Biz, too much common sense, get these people in Parliament. So thank you, Richard. So some of what Richard Torbal, that is, at Richard Torbal, some of what we've been saying has clearly made sense to somebody out there today. So so thanks for that vote of confidence.
That means we'll come back and do it again then.
Exactly. What I'm going to try and do now is play us out with a bit of Beatles Come Together, which I think is our temporary signature tune. And
well, that's what we do, Martin. We come together and we get the businesses of Kent to do exactly the same via us.
And we look forward to your listenership, if that's the right way of putting it, in 2 weeks' time. We'll be back on the 29th of October, but until then, we're going to leave you with the Beatles. Thank you very much.
me.